proclaim the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions.
This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, presenting another radio Bible broadcast. In our last session, we began a series about Psalm 45. Today we look at the king described in that psalm. Verses 2 through 9 of Psalm 45 detail the excellency of one referred to as the king and the splendor of that king's court. The monarch so described presented a royal bearing which appeared to exceed that possessed by mortal kings. The author of Psalm 45 declared that the subject of his song was, quote, fairer than the children of men, unquote. Yafah, the Hebrew word translated as fairer, could denote physical attractiveness, as it did in the 7th chapter of the Song of Solomon. It could also denote external adornment, as in the 10th chapter of Jeremiah's prophecy. In Psalm 45, though, the use of Yafah implied that the personage described in that hymn possessed a grandeur that surpassed that possessed by mortals. Such attribution might appear out of place if the king referred to in Psalm 45 were a mortal ruler. The language of that song hinted that the king in question was none other than the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ himself. Does this description of Jesus Christ contradict what Isaiah wrote about the Messiah in Isaiah chapter 53? Isaiah penned these words about Messiah, quote, he hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him, unquote. The words Isaiah used describe Jesus Christ's physical body after his enemies had degraded it. By contrast, Psalm 45 referred to the glorified body of the king, a body that God the Father restored to Jesus Christ after his resurrection. With regard to the king himself, the author of Psalm 45 observed that, quote, grace is poured into thy lips, unquote. The words of the monarch conveyed grace to all who heard them. Even so, the words of Jesus Christ convey light and light to those who listened to him and received his words and believed upon him. The use of the phrase, grace is poured into thy lips, evoked an allusion to a statement made in the first chapter of John's Gospel, namely that, quote, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, unquote. When the Savior spoke to others during the days of his earthly ministry, he conveyed the grace of God to them throughout his speech. No wonder that according to John chapter 7, the temple officers sent to arrest Jesus Christ came back without him, exclaiming, quote, never man spake like this man, unquote. In Psalm 45, the author noted that, quote, God hath blessed thee, referring to the king. God hath blessed thee forever, unquote. Such words can describe Jesus Christ. How so? Every day of his earthly ministry, Jesus Christ dedicated himself in performing his heavenly Father's will. According to the second chapter of Luke's Gospel, doing that was what he labeled as, quote, my Father's business, unquote. He informed his disciples in the fourth chapter of John's Gospel that, quote, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work, unquote. Furthermore, as Jesus Christ said in John chapter 8, quote, I do always those things that please him, unquote. Jesus Christ's perfect obedience to his Father, added to his dedication to doing his Father's will, resulted in the Father abundantly blessing his Son. This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, presenting another radio Bible broadcast.
You've been listening to The Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.